like in 54 engagement approach.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Sorry for the slight delay, but I just meant that we could have a few more people. I think please do take a seat at the table. Don't be shy. Intervene easily. This is a working session because we very much like to focus not so much on talking about the overall approach to how we can engage with non-profits, NGOs and end users, but rather starting thinking about concrete activities that we can think about, both in the sense of good content that we can use when we interact with these communities, outside communities, but also events, activities that we can do together, either ourselves organizing our own events or sort of piggybacking on other sort of conferences and events organized by others who target the sort of the right communities, where the right communities are. So we have until 4 p.m., and obviously this is just the start of what I hope will be a fruitful cooperation, collaboration among all of us. And I'm very glad to see many of you from a number of ICANN communities being present today. So thank you very much for being here, and I will ask my colleague Adam to delve into the detail. We're not going to review too much, as I said, the approach itself, but rather delve more into the specifics, the practical stuff. Thank you.
Jean-Jacques, it's Adam Peake speaking. Good afternoon, everybody. I think some of you, most of you, have seen some of the Google Doc that we made available or circulated to various groups among in ICANN, the NPOC, NCUC, and to the at-large groups. And so you've seen some of the approach that we're thinking of. It's very deliberately called an approach because it's a document and a strategy that's in draft and for you to have comments on and to improve is the main goal. The first slide on the screen is really just introducing the basic objective that we have as our staff goals into this and how we want to present the basic outline to you, trying to have from what has been a reasonably random approach to civil society throughout ICANN into something that is basically structured and responds to your needs and to the needs of civil society globally. And so we're looking at four basic areas here. The ones that I'm particularly interested in your comments on today are going to be tailored content and communications, engagement activities, if you have about them. Important that the scope of the plan looks at the current civil society as we identify them within ICANN. That includes the at-large community, and that would be the structures that then self-identify as civil society. Not all of the at-large is considered to be civil society. There are technical and business organisations there. But if those structures identify as civil society, then those should be included. We feel it's up to the community. And then there's the constituencies that fall under the non-commercial stakeholders group, which is the NCUC. And we do have some thoughts and ideas about how civil society or not-profit should be identified. It's a discussion we've often had throughout ICANN's history about trying to make sure that just because it's a not-for-profit association doesn't necessarily mean that it serves not-profit interests. So the purpose is something that has been thought of throughout our history there. The next slide shows you some of the internal, nice, friendly people who will be from the staff side. And
here for North America. Panel here, for instance, for North America. So we have representatives, points of contact in each of the ICANN regions that can be your first port of call when you're developing outreach. And I know some of you have already worked with them, with Joe, for instance, in events in Washington, D.C.
We have dedicated communication staff with Luna Maddy, who's not here. I know she's around the building, of course, and you've probably seen her. So we have support in our comms work, and Heidi from the at-large. So we had as I mentioned, we had a Google Doc that was available, and what we're really looking at now is the content, is the responses that we've seen that, and this is the basic outline of what we're thinking of. We will do an inventory of what's existing so far. There have been many years of history of contributions from civil society to ICANN, whether they be into policy development processes or other work, and those should be collated in some way, and a library of activities, including blog posts that are increasingly published by the various communities. Looking through, we'll begin to populate a landing page on the ICANN main website for civil society. You probably will have seen a page that's been developed for business. It's not really staff developing content. It's about linking to content that the community develops, finding a single point of landing in ICANN where you can then go off into the NPOC or the NCC or, as appropriate, where you wish to go and look for information. We'll begin some social media streams for delivering information. There should be a Twitter feed, which people are increasingly using, and then a dedicated mailing list and so on. Nothing particularly outstanding about this. We hope to begin a series of newsletters, one following each meeting and one to prior to each meeting. So one would be a review, we imagine, and one would be a what's going to happen at the next meeting, a cycle of newsletters. How that may develop over time, we will see. That's the idea at the moment. We think that a newcomer's handbook would be helpful. One of the issues that's happened throughout... One of the issues we hear commonly referred to is that new members, fellows or next gen, are not always clear where do I belong in ICANN, where is my natural home. So trying to use a handbook which would highlight the work that each of those constituencies has done or those groups have done may be the best way for people to identify. If you can see past successes and past work, then you can probably decide that, yeah, I want to be associated with that group. That's, again, one thought, and we will, you know, this is something that we want to discuss with you and build on from there. There are then some ideas that the different constituencies are talking about. There's a guide to ICANN and the DNS, which I believe the NPOC has been discussing as a possibility. I may have got title wrong, but I think you know the gist of what we're talking about there. We want to provide some regular updates on ICANN policy processes. These are already provided in various forms, but we think there are ways that can be structured for, particularly for civil society organisations that are not part of the embedded ICANN world, to use, so that those who are on either the edges of ICANN and know about us but do not participate, or those that are not really very aware of ICANN at all, can get information about ICANN in a sort of digestible and easy to follow form. And then we do envisage holding more webinars. This again would be probably community driven, issue specific. Some of them may be a briefing for an ICANN meeting, but issue specific webinars we believe would be helpful as well. Engagement activities. This is something that we'd like to very much hear from you about. At the moment, we know there's a lot of in ICANN's staff engagement work. We participate in many of the national, regional, and the global IGF, and these are things that happen regularly throughout the regions. They're multi-stakeholder, but they are often very well populated by civil society organisations. We're going to build, and this has been spiced particularly from the at-large, to try and build an ongoing and updated calendar of events, and this would be something, again, that we hope that you will contribute to and help us maintain, and that should be part of the landing page for all this information. And then certain in-reach activities. Basically, it means training and capacity building for the volunteers who participate here. And we know that you are asked to do many things, and it might be chairing meetings, or it might be policy development, of course, or even just using the Adobe Connect rooms or other tools that ICANN makes available. We can provide training, we think, on all of these issues, and they should help you in doing your work and developing ICANN's policy, make it easier and more relevant and something that's less of a time sink, which people refer to, rather easier for you to contribute and do your work. Moving on, some content initiatives we've thought about, as I mentioned, the idea of a brochure. Repeat, yeah, brochure there, newcomer's handbook, which is suggested by Rafiq, the NCSG chair, a guide to ICANN and the DNS, which we mentioned, an e-book, which has been suggested by CUC, And then something that we didn't mention on the previous side, which is the idea for call for papers, which would be perhaps a prize competition where people contribute a paper on a particular subject. We have an example, civil society and academia and ICANN and internet governance. And then the top student or top professor, thinking around the table, may get an invitation to an ICANN meeting and a pre-seminar or some form of trying to bring more content into ICANN. Why is ICANN relevant to civil society? And also bringing people in who've had these ideas. But these are all things that we want to hear your ideas about, because you're not a staff task to. And this goes on with some of the ideas that I mentioned on the previous slides. Newsletters, sections in the regional newsletters that are already made available, extra use of social media, webinars and so on. Using interviews, we find that interviews can be particularly helpful in that they can be a voice interview can be then transcribed, and we have text made available readily on the website. And it's ways of making content available both for people in ICANN but also broader, how to explain ICANN's work to the broader civil society community. And engagement activities, how to present ICANN civil society, ICANN to civil society. The in-reach activities I mentioned. And this is the final slide, which is really about how we can work together on this. First thing is to update this engagement approach, which is something now. We've taken comments on the Google Doc document that was available, and to also the other in-payment through that process. So we will update that and then ask for another round of updates and what you think should be the expansion of this. Outreach events that are on your agenda and you wish to populate the calendar with. We're thinking that we should have our first issue of the civil society newsletter, which would, I imagine, if you think agreeable, about what are the civil society perspectives on the outcomes of Dublin, and what are your views on this, these particular issues and outcomes. So we might pick 6 or 7, 8 issues and ask the CUC, NPOC and at-large to perhaps do it again through an interview process so that we can quickly make the content available, publicise that, and then your content you producing, so if we can work on these ideas for books and publications, and most important of all, your ongoing contacts.
Keep Adam. So, and just for the last one, that one is really to set up what we'd like today to decide on with you is how best we liaise with you on an ongoing basis on these issues. So what I would propose to do is just open the floor for any immediate questions and comments, but then what I'd like to do is maybe have sort of two approaches. First, going back to the slides that sort of outlines the ideas that we've received or that we've heard about on content, get your feedback on that, get a bit of a discussion on that, and then on the activity itself. So I see Klaus, and then Rudy, then Sam.
Adam, thank you very, very much. Very useful, very good. Like it. Sorry that I'm coming in now with quite a number of first observation about content. What I'm missing a little bit is the fact is that we should have, before we're talking about the details of a civil society engagement, it is for a lot of civil society organizations absolutely not clear why they should engage, and we should have a kind of engagement or a book or whatever why basically internet governance is important for civil society. I work with ICANN staff over the last year out some curriculum on some content some for it. Unfortunately, what happened after we worked it out, basically I was told, okay, now go out and find the funding. We don't have any money for that, which is understandable and which I think is actually quite a good approach. But I would, just to say it straightforward, I think what we should do as civil society is to go out and find some funding together as ICANN and with the civil society. That's, I think, is much better and much more fruitful fruitful approach. So, but the first point is quite simply, let's start at the beginning and address a thing of relevance. And secondly, on the point of finance, let's think about doing the funding actually together. You know that NPOC is working very, very closely with the Pathfinder Initiative. We have now planned several, I mean, basically, it's more than 10 events over the next year, and ICANN is more than happy to participate and use these events as needed and as possible. Those are, for example, there's in December, January, February, there are events which are also very useful as us in Washington, and then there is one in New York, but we can coordinate. There are a lot of events also outside the U.S. As a last point, Jean-Jacques, you mentioned the outcomes of the Dublin meeting. Yes, I believe we will have a declaration. We have something forward to put to the board, and the board then to the NTIA. I think we should do make a specific and special effort in arranging regional consultations for the outcome. We shouldn't say and go out and explain to other people to agree or not to agree. We just simply should explain what happened, what is the indication of it, what is the relevance of all that IANA transition to civil society, and then ask people for input. So I think we should have four or five regional events, maybe with some hubs and things like that, as quickly and as cheaply executed, but to have input, to have as a result input and not to preach out. That's all. Thank you.
Just a second, just quickly to all points taken. Thank you for all the suggestions. On the last one, as you know, we've done a number of information sessions throughout the year, including a couple of webinars at least for civil society. I know Matt here has been on one or two, and there's been others involved. And we would certainly very much look into that. And I think, Klaus, if I remember correctly, you already mentioned this to Fadi. If I remember correctly, yesterday.
I mentioned that to Fadi, and Fadi was basically quite open to it, but he made that remark, it should be executed by civil society with the support from ICANN, and ICANN shouldn't do it.
It would be great if you wanted to do your own initiative. Of course, it would be fantastic for the committee to drive this. I don't have a problem with
that. No, I think it needs to be done together, of course. Yeah. But he just didn't want to put that ICANN label very prominent and alone on there. And just to pick up on what you just said, there is a difference between explaining and presenting it to people who already know about the energy transition. What we should do once we have that proposal, really go to the lowest level and explain it in such a way and to organizations who've never been engaged in these things.
Thank you, Klaus. Sorry, we've got quite a few people. So I think I've got Sam, Rudy, Matt. Do you want as well to come in? Or no, I thought I had seen... Oh, sorry, yeah, okay. And I'm going to close the queue so we can move on to specifics. So I don't see anyone else. Okay, so I think it was Rudy first.
Nope, no problem, I will be quick. There is one item that I'm missing in the plan. There is a lot of good stuff indeed, but what about translation? I didn't see any effort on translation and translating the content we are going to produce. That's something that for the constituency itself is a very hard job to do, and I would like to see some efforts done by ICANN to translate the content that we are producing, most often in English, that it is translated in the languages that currently in ICANN are also used in different other places, just like at large and so on. Another point that maybe would be good to know for us, at least that's what I personally think is important to measure the efforts that we are doing, is having a tracking of the use of specific media, like the interviews, the videos that have been created for each of the chairs of the constituencies, to see how often has it been addressed, how often has certain content that is specific to us inside ICANN, how often has that been consulted, so that we have a trigger or if the efforts we are doing outside are really giving some results, because otherwise we can spend a lot of time and energy and money, but if nobody uses it, painful.
Quick response to that, yes, the communications team does metrics on that, and it can be made available. And one of the things that we're also thinking is that we have a great deal of streaming media, and probably particularly for developing countries and regions with lower bandwidth, then we're going to have to make that downloadable.
Sam Lanfranco for the record. One clarification. When we use the term society here, I would hope we mean civil society organizations, that we're not targeting one person at a time, and that we're really reaching out to organizations, as when we talk about NGOs and INGOs. So I think we should think in that context. We don't have to engage in that discussion now. The purposes for this need to be are fairly clear. First is to engage the NGO community and civil society working within ICANN's remit to get better policy, better implementation, and to get more labor. It's also to bolster ICANN's respectability as a multi-stakeholder organization. That's very clear from our side. The question is, what's in it from the other side? And my criticism here is that our outreach as envisioned, or ICANN's outreach, I have another outreach too, is that it's a kind of church-style outreach. Come to us, and it's good for you, it's good for your health, it's good for your soul. Plus, we're going to get these other things, better policy and so forth. And this might sound flippant, but I don't mean it to be flippant. A newsletter about what we did here for that constituency we'd like to reach is a bit like a Vatican Council producing a newsletter to try to recruit new Catholics. It would not be very successful. So one of the things that we're very sensitive to, and it's one of the reasons why I'm in INPOC, is that, and I'm a development economist, is that the vast majority of the NGOs in that civil society NGO community have a remit that is not internet DNS-centric. But these are issues that are important to them. So what information is relevant to them? What's the early win for them? And their involvement with ICANN should be the third stage in that. What information is relevant for them? What's the win for them? Then what can they do for ICANN?
Thank you. I think that's a point well taken. On the initial point, I think, yes, we would be focus the efforts on NGOs as organizations, because it's just easier to focus the efforts on that. At the same time, the door is open in ICANN for NGOs to join, for instance, the at-large communities. So if there are people in the audience who want to join us and users, we shouldn't, negate that. But anyway, I see your point, so I think that's fine. Thank you. Please. The queue is closed, by the way. This is it, yeah? We'll move on afterwards.
This is João Carlos Caribert from Brazil. I'm a member of our NCOC, and this project is approachable. I want to take a part of this anyway, or help, support. Yes, I love this proposal. In the past, I was the manager of a larger discussion group, and since NPCH on January in Washington, we were discussing about the lack of participation of new members. On my experience, this lack of participation is where the things happen. It happens on the meetings, but the things happen a lot on my discussion groups. But the pathway for the discussions are running now. But there was a lack of our participation occurred just on the mailing list, on the discussion group, for any kind of reasons. One kind of reasons, for example, where newbie want to be recognized, to make a part, to participate, to join the group. When a newbie send a message to the group, for example, with the any subject, and don't find answers, don't find echo of this post, he realized that it was not be accepted for the group. He or she don't understand the message would be a high discussion subject or irrelevant subject. But it's important, for example, to be the members of the any constituents just working together with these guys or these girls just to help this, just to say, no, this, your point is relevant, but it was discussed in the past. Please, look, this is, you can find this information here. Please let me know if you need some more hands, some more support. But if not, the people perceive there was a closed group that is discussed between itself, and just to take it this way, leave the group or just watching the group, not participate. I think the much more important to open the ways, to think of ways to engage these people on this arena of participation. That's it.
I think point taken. So part of it is, of course, for the community to the existing groups to try and think about Harve, welcome newbies, and I think a lot of you have been working on that in recent months with your own outreach strategies. And you've noticed in Adam's presentation, the fourth item is capacity building. It's very much that, to try and help newbies. So it's all well and good to attract those people, but they don't if they don't know how to participate or they don't feel welcome in some shape or form, and especially at the beginning, they will drop off and they probably won't come back. So a point absolutely well taken.
Yeah, thanks. Matthew Shears, Centre for Democracy and Technology. Just a couple of points. I think this is a great idea. It's a great initiative. I think there are ways where the only thing my only caution would be the amount of time that the people will be required to put in to drive this, who are already committed to so many other projects. I think that we really need to get that balance right. I think there's a huge amount of information out there that's already been written, and I think we should turn to that first, not only what you've got listed up there, but other academic essays on ICANN and a whole bunch of material. And I also wonder, maybe you touched on it when I was out of the room, but can we more directly link to the ICANN Learn program, or whatever it's called these days, so that there's a kind of a logic, you know, in it? The only comment I'd make generally is that, you know, we hear a lot about participation in internet governance events and internet governance forums. So I think that even though this is kind of outwards looking towards trying to engage people, we still have to focus very much on getting peer as well. I mean, you know, this is so fine balance between how do you make it very enticing and easy for people to come to an ICANN meeting, which is very important. That's a common refrain we hear, that people from the Global South, for example, don't get enough access to these kind of fora. So somehow we need to work that into this plan as well, that there's a method of bringing people, encouraging people to come that's more...
On the first point, I think we mentioned at the very beginning, and it was, I think, in the paper, that we'd like to do an inventory of content, because there's a lot out there, and we've already got quite a bit of input from everyone, so thank you. And we wanted to wait for this meeting today, and then on the basis of the further raft of comments we'll receive today, to send out a revised version of the Google Doc, taking into account what we've received, and on the back of that, please come back in when you know of existing content, because absolutely there's no point in duplicating. We might want to refine some of the content out there. I suspect that there is probably 75% of the content, if not more, out there already. It might need to be updated, but we probably don't need to create that much more. It's more about presenting it and making the links as well. So, you know, if NPOC produces great stuff and CC produces something complementary, let's link to them from an easy-to-find place, that sort of thing. So, the other point as well about making it accessible, I mean, probably that's what we would fall under the full category of capacity building, the general topic of how do we make it more accessible in a broad sense, so looking at the various schemes, random, etc. I think we had...
Joan Kerr, for the record, other people have asked some of the questions I was asking, but I was wondering, how do we review what's been successful and what's not successful?
Well, I think maybe if we can agree on a group or liaison group afterwards, you know, maybe, I don't know if we want to have a call every a month or something, plus a face-to-face meeting during ICANN meetings for the people here who'd like to work on this, maybe we can review... You know, we've got objectives in the paper, you know, so we can benchmark against those objectives and try and update on what activities have been rolled out, whether we have fulfilled the objective, how it's going, etc., and maybe use that contact group to help evaluate how we're going on an ongoing basis.
I know you always measure objectives against what you've done, but I was thinking more like you've got objectives, but as you know, NGOs will then have their own spin and their own input, right? So would you take those into consideration against objectives? So you want to, say, do your videos and you want to do your Facebook and you want to do all of those, and someone brings up another way, for example, Instagram or Reddit or things like that. Would those work better? Try them in, you know, and sort of respond, or making it a living document, I guess, is what I'm trying to say.
Absolutely. I mean, the draft that we circulated was very much that, a draft, and it should be a living document. I mean, if we end up realizing, well, you know, for instance, I don't know, blogs, no one reads them. That's just an example. Don't go there. And that's the sort of input or feedback you want. And indeed, Instagram, actually, I hadn't thought about Instagram. I'm sure all our privacy advocates will love that one. please do put in. I mean, when we issue this revised Google Doc, when we can, I mean, it'll be this living document, I hope, and that's when we should do that. And then when we regularly meet up with this group or have calls, we do it on an ongoing basis. Thank you. And I think that's the last one for the initial part.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm barging in on the queue. Okay, Elsa Saade, for the record, I'm a newcomer and a fellow. And since I'm only new, I got to see and observe from outside the box, more or less. And I felt I had a vibe that I think there should be work on two levels, the internal and the external. Internally, I think having cross collaborations with other groups within ICANN in terms of experience or skill sharing or tools sharing would be a big asset. Like, for example, Neil, he's working on a technical team, and this, for example, gave way for tech to understand and absorb human rights more, and in that way there would be more of coherence within ICANN concerning our own constituencies in terms of civil society. And the second part would be some kind of external incentive where if an NGO or if any part of civil society would like to join constituencies or whatever civil society groups are in ICANN, there would be some kind of incentive in terms of skills, in terms other than networking, in terms of skill sharing. Because every single NGO or every single person here who is a part of this community can give lots of skills and tools and assets for anyone who would come in. I think this is enough of an incentive for anyone to come and join the conversations and give input as much as take output from within. And I completely agree with the inventory of the content. It's an excellent idea. But even putting the assets, the people or the organizations who are already there right on the spotlight for people to actually see who is already in there and who could actually be of who could actually give somehow a plus to this place, who could fill in the gaps. Like, having a clear map of what we already have would be also excellent. So, yeah.
Very much for that, and I think it's especially useful because you've just joined, and I know you were actually a participant to one of our internal events in Istanbul just in early September, so it'll be great to get your input, having just arrived. You know, what would you really benefit from? And you know, when you mentioned these examples of collaboration, for instance, with the technical committee, which aspects do you think we should rate? If you could, if you wouldn't mind sharing your comments now, or indeed afterwards, comment on the Google Doc and. Give us ideas. And I think it's a perfect transition to go into, to just start to look at the two main areas we wanted to focus on today, which is the broad ideas around content and communications which have emerged both from the initial draft that we sent and the comments we've received since. So you've got that on the screen. You know, it's a mix of social media, Twitter, Facebook page, or certainly web page on ICANN, handbook, etc. So the floor is open for any further input or comments. You know, if there's stuff that you think will not work or some that are must do, now is a good time to tell us. Do you like your own idea, Rafik? I can't wait to go back to an NCSG meeting chair and just throw that one to you. No, just basically, just looking at this list, you know, I mean, it's in terms of content communications, is it going the right direction? Are there things that we're missing, that sort of thing?
Thanks, Jean-Jacques and Adam for this work, and hearing a lot of suggestions. I mean, as a computer engineer, Tapas, we develop some stuff. I hear many suggestions, many things, but I will say that let's start with this idea. It's kind of prototype. Then we can get feedback. Maybe it's not successful. Maybe we need to improve. Maybe we need to change. So we can go with that. So because we discussed about several times, like the handbook, and I made mistake to volunteer for that. But the idea, because also I am hearing, like Elsa, she's one of our members. I understand that. I mean, how to access to people, how you identify people that they can help you, what you can learn from ICANN in terms of skills and so on. It's not an easy task because we try to encourage people to join working group, but the reality is much more complex. I would say let's try this. I'm not sure how much it will be successful. We can get feedback, we can do review, and we can improve. And I see it as iterations and getting feedback and more feedback. You know, there are a lot of things, a lot of work that it will end up that by 5 years to do. But I understand there is commitment from you that we'll get a lot of support. We can make idea and you support, like the formatting and so on, in terms of communication, how we can more successful. So my understanding. And I hope that we can, I mean, as I said, as engineers, we need to start at some level so we can get feedback, real feedback. Because we can spend so much time And that's what they call the famous anti-pattern of design. We have many input, and designed by committee. Famous, that's the camel is a horse designed by... that's the whole thing, so let's be careful.
Thank you, Rafik. I'm going to ask everybody else who takes the floor to find a great analogy. And now that you are, unfortunately for all of us, stepping down from your role as chair, you've got plenty of time. You can volunteer for a lot of this. Thank you. Okay, any other points? Rudy, please.
What I'm a little bit afraid of is the overlap of certain setups where at the end the content would be desynchronized. I think there will be a lot of effort in keeping all the stuff synchronized. If it's going to be N on constituency devices, whatever it is, and on ICANN, so I think there is a lot of work to be scheduled in order to be able to say, okay, if you put this content there, we need to know it. So otherwise you're going to be outdated somewhere, and that is going to confuse especially newcomers who will go and say, what is it? And I think the handbook may be a good sample of newcomer handbook. At large did one. That's very well done, ALAC. It's a marvelous one. I think we can take 70% of what's in it.
Maybe I can explain
that. Yeah, go ahead, Rafik.
Yes, I mean, because at AG we have several, few wiki pages. And I saw the ALAC handbook. I thought, okay, we need to create such something for us. So to explain, okay, you join, what you can do, how you can participate. And my analogy, I like it, is not really the ALAC guide. But it's more the Tao of ITF, because it includes that the meeting part. I do think that is missing. We have like the new conversation and so on, but if we can work more on that and to think like, you know, you have the meeting, but also there is what's happened between meetings, how you can participate at stakeholder group and constituency level, how you can participate in working. Give real hints, not just saying joining... policy development is fun. No, it's to give you clear hints and guidance how you can participate, how the basic idea.
On this one?
Personally, if there was like a set of success stories by NCSG and NCUC when you were getting our newcomer session, it would have been amazing because we would have seen the results of your policy development. Success stories, like small, short ones, concise ones.
That's the sort of things that we will be doing, for instance, in videos, little briefing papers, that sort of thing. Thank you. Just
connect what she as a fellow brought up and what I was also thinking about as I'm doing, and every chair is doing a presentation to the fellows. We don't have enough time to really do what you are asking for. Maybe we need to look into the future meetings that fellows would have the chance to go really inside a constituency and constituency day event or a meeting to learn what we are doing and how things are working. Because that's how we recruited Martin. He discovered, wow, this seems to be interesting. He came to the meeting. We had this yesterday again, two newcomers coming to and say, Wow, we didn't know that. You cannot explain all at 15 minutes that we get for doing a presentation of the fellowship. I think that there needs to be an extension on how to do that.
A number of different examples. The suggestion that's been poured by the non-commercial users group on producing an e-book describes some of the things that they've been working on over the years. An idea of a three-page introduction to what somebody in ICANN has done on privacy or something on rights or all these different issues that they've addressed, so that rather than just seeing that there's a policy process, actually explain that we have had an impact on this particular issue. So it's highlighting successes and examples. Something that the business group has done is presentations on why my business participates in ICANN. So it might be why my NGO participates in ICANN, what are the advantages received from it. So highlighting specific case studies. Those are sorts of things that we can look at and develop.
Okay, I'm going to pass to Tanya, then there's one more, and then we're going to move on to activities because unfortunately time is running out.
Thanks a lot. Just briefly, because I have to run to another session. I don't know if I have to go that much into detail. It looks very nice on the slide, but just want to make remark. Oh, sorry, Tatiana Tropina speaking for the record. I want to make a remark that we have to ensure that the content actually suits purpose. Like, for example, regional letter for the ICANN. Sometimes I'm getting regional letter where you list the conferences and so on. Like, oh, there are great events. Oh, okay, but they happened 1 month ago. So just, I mean, then if you guys are doing this job, this is a great job, but then what the point? Because there is no report about the event. There's just notification, but event has already passed. So if you are putting efforts to do this in any case, just maybe you can ensure that this is consistent with your purpose. There is no critics. I know that maybe there was no kind of really policy on this, but I think like what looks good here should also look good content-wise. Thanks.
Humberto Carrasco, for the records. Well, actually, I'm the secretary of RALO, so some of these topics are overlap with what we have been working during this week and also since last year. I think we have some of this material, not only in English, but also in Spanish. So I think that would be great because it's, you know, we don't need to duplicate the work. We have it. So it's, if we can, you know, take advantage of the other language easily, it's, we are going to save time.
Absolutely. So a point that goes back to what Rudy was saying as well before, and we mentioned the inventory. And most of you have got outreach strategies for your own group. So here we really don't want to recreate the wheel. It's more about better joining the dots. So you imagine that we end up with some sort of homepage for civil society on the ICANN website, just as an example. Well, I hope that where we can list events. So for instance, we would have the NCUC outreach events, ALS outreach events. We could link to, I don't know, whatever latest brochure or blog by whoever. Absolutely, so that we don't duplicate and we just bring it all together. It makes sense. When we go to our audiences, they get all the right content. When we put together events also in the future, we should think, well, you know, there's not that many of us after all. So it would be great to have panels with people from ALAC, from NCUC, from MPAMOR sharing experiences. So just that's the sort of mindset, I think, that we've got here. So it's not about adding yet another layer. It's rather connecting the different parallel tracks. So languages will be a very important aspect of that. Translation, you know, costs an enormous amount of money in ICANN. Our budget is, I believe, $4.5 million in translation and interpretation at ICANN every year. So we really need to think more creatively about that. And so if we've got already, let's not recreate it. Thank you for that. So let's move on because we're getting to the top of the hour. I just wanted to go down to... we don't have a list here. No. Sorry. So there is a list of events. You know, we had done a very initial list, just a staff list, which was more an illustration in a way of some of the events coming up, which was things like, you know, the Arab IGF and things like that. We received some input on the Google Docs. And when we put it out, a revised draft out, you'll have a much stronger list. And the idea, just to recap to people, the input that we'd love to hear from you is events that you're putting on together or things that may not be very, very visible to us. If we want to go to the NGOs, there are big NGO conferences that you know about. If there's a big privacy conference where there's going to be a lot of NGOs present, then can we tag on to it? Can we have a panel session there on ICANN and civil society and privacy, for instance? That's the sort of input that we want. We've got some already, but I'm just putting it out there so that you remember when we circulate the link to the revised draft, please just have a look, tell us when you've got something coming up around the world, really. I've seen a few hands coming up. I think Klaus first and then Matthew. Please.
First, a warning. I think just to go and do a panel or to do a presentation at any kind of conference without really pre-preparation and follow-up really is not effective. I think we should develop a kind of strategy around each and one, each of the second remark I wanted to do is, yes, I will get in touch with you both, and you know we are coordinating. But that brings me to another idea. Shouldn't we have a page somewhere where we could upload our events so that everybody see? Kind of calendar or... You know what I mean? And
I'm not sure. Do you have it on your website already? Because maybe there's a way of automating it, where we pick the content directly.
I hand over on this one to Rudy.
Okay.
Very, very quickly. Technically, if I have the information how to plug in into an API in the calendar of ICANN, I can automatically give them the links.
New member, Rafik has been involved with this more than anybody else, but the new member services website or system which will come up, which will both manage the membership, the NCUC and NPOC, also has calendaring services. It has all kinds of features will be available there, so those should be rolling out soon. I've not been particularly involved in it. Rafik and some other community members have, but we should...
Yeah, Matthew Shears, just a question on the first bullet. When you say consider a consistent IoT message... What does that mean? And also on the second bullet, it says outreach pre-event involving local civil society some weeks prior. That just concerns me a little bit because sometimes it's so difficult. These events cost a lot of money to get to these events. It would be good actually for them to be all under, you know, all in one time frame rather than separate and things like that.
Yeah, I mean both of those really. The first one is that. This is the internal staff as they go around different regional meetings that they should be presenting a consistent message of what civil society and ICANN does, not talking about the content that you're talking about the messages that you have, so that we're representing the organizations consistently as we do so around the world. And that's something to do that is really necessary, I think, so that we can present all the different groups effectively. And the second is that, and Jean-Jacques organised this about 3 weeks ago in Dublin, about a month ago in Dublin, a meeting held for local people so that they knew an ICANN meeting was happening enough time in advance so that they could actually schedule coming here rather than just doing it on the Friday before, a month before. They got a taster of what was going to happen at this week of meetings, and this is something that we will consistently do for each ICANN.
I think this is something we've discussed with many of you before, which is very nice to do an outreach event on a Saturday before the meeting week, but we're talking to people who are already interested in ICANN, so we want to come a bit in advance. So if you think about Marrakesh as the next meeting, you know, we need to think about doing events in North Africa in the weeks leading to it, so people can get, you know, first get interested and then get organized. That's what we meant by this.
Yeah, on that, Jean-Jacques, when you say, okay, a few weeks prior to the ICANN meeting, I think it's a great idea, except that I think it should be in locations... not necessarily where the ICANN meeting is going to take place, because NGOs quite often doesn't have the ability to travel. So maybe it's good if you could say, okay, let us do that in a few places so that the regional civil society is informed. And a question I have, as you did it for Dublin, do you have already some metrics on how the response was on that?
Metrics in the sense of, we know how many people came, and from what I know, pretty much every single person who came to our pre-event, I came to the meeting. But I think, you know, when there'll be more challenges. I think it's right to do events in other places than the host city, but it'll bring other challenges because not everyone will be traveling, etc. So we'll have to take that into account and work around it. But thank you. And I'll try to stop.
This is Jean-Carlo. So just to remark, I suggest on this pre-event on ICANN meetings to involve the next gen team, because the next gen usually are from local youths, and it is a public to work on this kind of pre-event. I suggest to work together.
Okay. No, please, you can. You're more than welcome. Okay. I don't see any more hands, and you know, time's running. So I'm going to try and sort of summarise, and please let me know if you sort of or nod if you agree, or scream if you don't. So we're going to circulate a revised Google Doc, a revised draft, which takes into account all the input received so far, including the many comments made today, and I think that was a very constructive meeting. Thanks to you all. So in the very next few days. So I'm not sure it made sense to send it this week because most people are too concentrated on a meeting, so which will give Adam a bit of time to finalize everything. So I think we'll do it sometime next week. Make more sense for when everybody's back and ready for more work. Now, the one point I wanted to conclude on is how we liaise. So before coming here to Dublin, we had a webinar, for instance, with NCSG. I think this was with all NCSG, but I think this should be one for really the people that care, that are really interested in volunteering for this, and, you know, a sort of informal contact group, I think maybe we can call it that, and which I think we can have as joint between the relevant at-large communities and the NCSG community. Perhaps we can start, I don't know what you think about having it once a month for a start. I could circulate a doodle poll and for the communities and maybe tag it on to one of the NCSG call and hope at large can join. Does that make sense if we try to do one in about a month's time?
Great idea, Jean-Jacques. And maybe if you could add to comment that, and preferable in a week so that we have time to digest everything we have been doing here, but maybe it would be good to have a kind of timing on planning. When would we do what? So that we have also in our constituency a view of workload that happen, so that we can really schedule it in our constituency. So it's good to have an idea when would you do what, so that we can also schedule that inside our work plans.
That's a good suggestion. We can try and do that. Work something after with some dates broadly of when we hope to do things. Okay. Yeah. That's a really good suggestion. I mean, we've got some ideas internally about when we'd like to have some stuff done, but we can start sharing some of these thoughts and mapping it a bit better for everyone. Okay, thank you all very, very much. It was very nice. Someone made a point about needing a bit more cross-community participations. We've had a good participation from both at-large community and NCSG communities here. So let's lead by example and show the other communities how we should all work together. Thank you all very, very much, and good luck for the rest of the meeting. See you around and at the public forum. Thank you.